Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, big news in a week that is not yet 3 full days old. After intense pressure, the CEO of Prince George's County Schools says he will step down at the end of the year. Kanye West says slaves in America, they could have chosen a different path. Huh? And the latest musical chairs with the president's legal team and more. Tonight, we are talking with the reporters at the roundtable, and the phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Prince George's County Head of Schools, the president, several bodies of young ladies were found in Southeast D.C. We've got a plethora of things to talk about. In studio joining us is Tracy Wilkins. She's the Prince George's County Deputy Bureau Chief with NBC4 Washington, and Hamil Harris, reporter with the Washington Afro. We thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Again, phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tracy, let's start with you. You caught Rashearn Baker today. Kevin Maxwell has announced that he will resign at the end of the year. And you spoke with the county executive today, and he said, not on me. I didn't put pressure on him to resign. I didn't put pressure on him to step down. Is that plausible with the county executive being a candidate for governor?
Well, I can only go off of what he said. You know, I don't think that he had any reason not to, be honest. So we broke the story about Kevin Maxwell stepping down as CEO of the Prince George's County School System yesterday. I had an exclusive interview with him that was very in-depth. We talked for about 45 minutes and reviewed everything that happened and what brought us to the point where he decided to go ahead and say that at the end of the year he's going to be stepping down. I think that the writing was on the wall for him when you think about the three folks considered the three front runners for Prince George's County Executive, all three saying that they wanted him to step down. It was obvious that they were not going to keep him in that position, even though he has 3 years left on his contract. He needed to do something. And what he told me is that it was becoming a distraction. And because of that, he wanted to go ahead and let everyone know, I am stepping down at the end of the school year. And the word that he used to describe what's going to happen next is transition, meaning that he's going to be using this time to help transition in the next CEO or interim CEO or whatever that's going to look like. There are going to need to be some conversations between the Board of Education and Rashearn Baker, and they're going to have to figure out what that's going to look like and also figure out what's going to happen with his contract and salary, and all of that stuff needs to be negotiated as well. There's a lot of money on the table with Kevin Maxwell's salary.
Tracy, do you think he also saw that with a new county executive coming in that they were probably wanting to bring in their own person anyway, especially if the majority of the top, if we say candidates right now, are asking him to resign? So it seemed like it was just an untenable kind of position that he would be in. Would
you agree? With HB 1107, the next county executive has the power to put into the superintendent position or CEO position who they like. I mean, that's what Rashearn Baker fought for in Annapolis. It's what he got. And he said to me today, you know, the next county executive, because of this legislation, has the opportunity to decide who they would like to bring in. So that's the way that this is going to work. He said that he understood the transition. He said it's the same thing with him. He's leaving as county executive. He's taking his people with him. He expects that there are going to be a lot of people in the school system who will go with Maxwell. That is going to be a very interesting change of events there, because we're talking about people who have intimate knowledge of a lot of the programs that have been started in Prince George's County who will not be there anymore. So if this transition goes well, maybe things will work out smoothly, but we're looking at the possibility of a clean slate for a school system. I would be frightened if I were a parent with a child in a program that somebody from Maxwell's administration helped to start. I would hope that someone coming in would be able to continue those things if I were invested in them.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Tracy Wilkins, she's the Deputy Bureau Chief of the Prince George's County Bureau for NBC4 Washington, and Hamil Harris, a reporter with the Washington Afro. Hamil, you wanted to jump in there?
No, it's amazing because I also work as a reporter, CTV News, Prince George's County, CTV. And what's amazing, there are two dominant groups in Prince George's County when it comes to school, the students and the teachers. And talking to Teresa Dudley, we had her on this evening at CTV, and she's very upset and because she says, you know, the buck stops with County Executive Baker. And if people want to focus on Maxwell and Mr. Baker, let him have this transition.
And Teresa Dudley, you mean the president of the teachers' union?
I'm sorry, Teresa Dudley, the president of the teachers' union in Prince George's County, was really tough because she says, and again, I'm just being a reporter, but her point is people, when you're thinking about this governor's race, then you have to look at county executives Baker's record in terms of education.
Well, because
look what's happened.
The state teachers union, right, has supported Ben Jealous for the
right,
Democratic
right. Again, if you go around the county, you see this. But let's go back to the school system. You're talking about just a year ago when you had in Glen Arden when you had the young man and the molestation charge, a school person. Just last week, a teaching assistant and a coach at Fairmont Heights, the track coach, you know, arrested because of sexual misconduct charges with a 16-year-old. You see it over and over. We have the camera gate. So the bottom line is, where does this buck stop, and when are things going to change? Because people have been calling for that, and so for somebody to get a parachute deal, who everybody knows, a lot of people respected Mr. Maxwell, but someone has to make the tough choices. And the people aren't seeing leadership. That's what I'm hearing.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's the Reporters Roundtable. We want you to be part of the conversation. Tracy, you want to pick up
one of the points that I think is really interesting is that there have been accusations made that the county executive did not show leadership by firing Kevin Maxwell. Some would argue the counter, that in fact Prince George's County has not had a superintendent to complete a contract. The county has seen more superintendents coming in and out of that office than anywhere else in our region. Because of that, the school system itself has developed this middle management silo kind of deal where you've got people who are operating the school system because leadership doesn't stick around long enough. It makes it very difficult when there is new leadership in the school system. And a lot of the issues that we saw play out, the Deontay Carraway case is a perfect example of that, where information wasn't getting to the people it needed to get to, that folks were managing that situation to the point that it was mismanaged. And this man has been found guilty and is serving life sentences for molestation of multiple students. And there were people who complained and their voices weren't heard. And proper reporting wasn't done because that wasn't the way it was done before. So these are the kinds of issues that the school system is trying to clean up. And what County Executive Baker promised to his constituents is that we're going to have consistency. There's some people who did not like that consistency, but in fact, he did deliver on the promise of, I'm sticking by the CEO. When Kevin Maxwell came into the Prince George's County school system, he was one of the top four superintendents in the nation, according to that matrix. So another guy got number one, but he was in the final four running. So when the county executive got him, he was pretty happy about it, thinking that we've got one of the best in the country.
Because he did come from Prince George's County. He was a principal at Northwestern. He was, Division One,
mid-manager guy. Yeah, he was a principal. Raised in Prince George's County, has always lived in Bowie, attended Prince George's County Elementary School, Middle School, High School, came back to UMD for college. And I'm remembering all of this because we just had the conversation. So this was like a native son who had earned his stripes in other areas coming back to help the school system. And as he said yesterday, he's disappointed that he won't have the opportunity to finish that work.
I heard where he said in his 40 years in education, he's really never seen anything like what he's had to deal with. And to your point, Tracy, and yours, Hamil, he knows Prince George's County, so he really knows how the system
works.
How
much can one man do? You know, and like she said, he's one person, but all this, that's like you call it the silo of the middle managers. It's like the silo of the middle managers. What are they doing? And then these are some of the same people who've been there forever.
But what I want to ask, though, and both of you, the political imperatives, right? We cannot get away from that.
The election.
That you've got election for county executive. You have Rashearn Baker, who's running for governor. You have a very popular sitting governor and a Republican governor in the state of Maryland.
But the most popular governors in the country.
I think he was like second most popular in these polls. He called for Maxwell's firing. So was Baker in a tight position? he's in a tough spot because Hogan could really hammer that over his head.
Well, he's going to have to.
He's already doing
because
it.
When you think about
He's already doing
you think
it,
about Count Executive Baker's record, in terms of the economy, job growth, development, it is outstanding. So what else do we have left? There's been a lot of complaining about education, calls for the CEO to resign and to step down from within the county, his former unions.
But that's such a biggie, Tracy, right?
Say.
Education, you know, there are not a whole lot of issues that we focus on. But folks, you know, you
without question, right. That is the county executive's weakest spot going into this run for governor. This is going to be the thing, and it is already the thing, that everybody is attacking.
And the vote is fragmented. You have, what, 8 Democratic candidates? I mean, Ben Jealous, the former head of the NAACP, and there's other people from Montgomery County, 2 or 3 candidates, and they're all running for that Democratic piece of the pie. And meanwhile, no one's really taking Hogan the task on, pretty much. He's kind of have an easy ride in terms of this race. So again, how strong will any Democrat be in a state with a popular Republican?
Well, folks will tell you, when you take on education and you're running, I mean, it's political suicide, especially a troubled school system. When you say, I want to be in charge and the buck stops here kind of language, people hold you accountable to that. And if you're running for higher office, it's the kind of thing that you don't really want to tie your name to unless you really do think you can fix it. So that speaks to, I would think, how the county executive felt about education, that he was willing to risk such political capital in trying to fix some of the problems.
Do
there.
Either of you think things may change for the next county executive coming in terms of whether he or she will have control over the school board? Do you think it will go back to just the board controlling the decisions and not the county executive being able to?
None of the bills that tried to do that in Annapolis passed this past session. So I don't see anything changing unless there's some emergency legislation at the end of the session again to change it back. The teachers union would love to see that change back.
And Tracy has hit the nail on the head. Annapolis, Mike Miller, when you think about the county delegation, Prince George Island County delegation, it's almost like they go to an island on the Chesapeake Bay and they pass bills, but then how much does that come back for tangible change? It's almost like Sherman Baker's on one island, Mike Miller and the other county officials and the state officials, and C. Anthony Muse is saying he's going to be the county executive. But again, what is he doing to make that change? It's just like everybody has a little piece of the pie.
Tonight it is a reporter's roundtable. We have Tracy Wilkins in. She's the Prince George's County Deputy Bureau Chief for NBC4 Washington, and Hamil Harris, a reporter with the Washington Afro. The phone lines are open 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the topics in the news so far this week. Kevin Maxwell saying he will step down. Kanye West saying that slaves had a choice. They did not have to be slaves. I think he's got a new CD or something coming out, so he's out there talking about this issue. It is blowing up on Twitter. What do you guys think about what Kanye West had to say about slaves having a choice? Is this even a debate?
I mean, my whole point, and I'm sure it's going to be debated because it's the sexy topic of the night, but when is Kanye West and other people going to be known for what they do in the community? They made millions in rapping about the community and tapping into the hearts of young people. But at the same time, we at a time now where what you tweet is more important than what you do. And again, he's kind of captured this, I guess, his new right-wing neoconservativisms or whatever he's doing, and everybody's responding and tweeting back, and it's the head of the news. And it really is to me, it's a sign of these times where that gets more traction than three young girls laying in Southeast under a house that's been there as skeletons. I mean,
but Tracy, very quickly, though, it does spark a conversation. Folks do talk about slavery and whether or not it's an issue that's worthy of talking about. Do you think at least in about 15 seconds we'll come back to this?
For sure. I think that what we're seeing here in these comments is what happens when we are not properly educating our children and our young adults about their history, and they're guessing and they're making comments that are completely off the mark and tone deaf.
And we do know people will follow Kanye West and what he has to say. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bride in for Harold Fisher. It's already been a busy week in the news. DC police have reported finding skeletal remains in Southeast DC. Kevin Maxwell The CEO of Prince George's County Public Schools has decided he will step down at the end of the year. Kanye West making controversial statements regarding slavery and choice. President Trump's legal team, the merry-go-round continues. There is plenty that we have to talk about, and we'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Join the conversation. The reporters joining us tonight to talk about all things newsworthy is Emil Harris. He's a reporter with the Washington Afro, and Tracy Wilkins. She's the Prince George's County Deputy Bureau Chief with NBC for Washington. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines and go to Patrice, calling from Maryland, has a comment about Kanye West. Go right ahead, Patrice.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
What we're seeing is, I work in social media, and Kanye is using what the platform is to invite this kind of conversation. We've had all of the reactions, which have been negative, and then we are seeing now a second video follow-up where he's very apologetic, very endearing to this very person who called him out. So what we're seeing is really how the draw of social media theatrics work. Hmm. And Kanye is perfectly positioned to create the temperature that has been aroused, and he's evoking all of the emotions that we need to feel. Unfortunately, too, there may be some psychological neurosis that we may not yet be able to know unless it gets to that crisis level.
Well, I think that's definitely something that has come up about Kanye. About, is he on medication? I think he said he had an opioid addiction for a while after having liposuction. Tracy, I think you hit on something when you made the comment about this is what happens if folks aren't educated, right? If we don't educate our young people about issues. But I think also what might be dangerous with Kanye West is that we know a lot of young folks will take what he says.
Yeah,
and many people feel like white supremacists will take that and say, you see, so does it matter what Kanye West says? Maybe that's the more appropriate question.
Of course it matters. And, you know, he made the comment on TMZ before there was tweeting back and forth about it with fans. And actually on Twitter, he, you know, kind of took back a little bit of what he said and said, well, I didn't mean it that way and I was kind of misunderstood. And he used the platform to try and change what it is that he said. But when he said it, I think, you know, but this is Kanye, right? He's always he says what's on his mind without real thought about consequences for what he says. And there are times that he has been praised for that. And then there are times that he has been persecuted for it. Mm-hmm. So he's gotten in trouble for making comments and saying things at times and in places where people just weren't prepared for it. Kanye is Kanye. The problem with Kanye being Kanye with the platform he has is that you have young people who don't understand this is an entertainer. He is a musical genius when it comes to producing. That does not mean that he understands history or historical context or can speak about these complicated issues like slavery and the mindset of people who are enslaved and are persecuted. So it's hard to draw the line. So this is where parenting comes into play. And we're having conversations with your kids about these people who make these comments and helping them to understand the distinction between he's a great producer, he's a, you know, a good rapper, and has produced some of the most memorable songs of our time, but he's not John Henrik Clark. We shouldn't be listening to Kanye for historic reference.
Well, Tracy, you know, is dropping some deep historic
reference. Well, I'm going to take it back. When I think about Dick Gregory, Arthur Godfrey, I think about, you know, Julian Bond, you know, the civil rights legacy. We're here at the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. And we would hear Kanye or someone like that before. We would just simply call Dick or Jesse Jackson. But all these leaders are either sick or have passed away. And this is a void. There's a very serious leadership void in our country in terms of getting sound bites. I remember when Tracy and I would cover Marion Barry. We would say, well, Mr. Barry, what do you think about that? We can't go to those people now because they're dead. And so the question becomes, who will stand in the gap and be that voice of the bigger community? Because right now, we can't tweet our way to freedom. You know, and it's nice and cute, but there's no old-fashioned work. Even like Black Lives Matter, we had that. And again, now who do we go to? You know, you have these marches, but this is a new day. And for journalists, there's a void here.
Well, I think the question could be, too, you know, there's always a pushback when you say, well, who do we go to? Should we be looking for someone to go to, a particular person? We know social media is a democratizing kind of system, right? And maybe that's a good or a bad thing. I'll tell you the funny thing is what's interesting, I teach an American history class over at Prince George's Community College, and a student, you know, sometimes students are really not that into history and focus, but somewhere in the middle of the class, she put her hand up. She said, well, Professor Bryant, what do you think about what Kanye West had to say? And so what was interesting is her noodle, as I said, was actually moving and thinking. And so I threw it back. I said, well, what do you think? And she said, well, we've been studying slavery, and I think it just, I don't know how we could say that based on historical context. So to Tracy's point, I think if you have some context, you can look at that and maybe use that as a sort of teaching moment. I think the issue, though, is how much credence should we give someone like Kanye West? And I know we're talking about it tonight, but I think that's the hard thing.
Well, there was a time when a lot of our big stars were really knowledgeable and had
and educated
and were woke. You know, you had Harry Belafonte, you had Sidney Poitier, you had basically, if you were an actor or a singer who had achieved any notoriety, you had some education and some understanding, and you understood also your relevance and that you owed something to your community. And when you spoke from that understanding. Mm-hmm. So now we have a generation that doesn't feel that they owe anything. You know, Kanye talks consistently about being his own person, thinking for himself, individuality, without really talking about the shoulders that he stands on and the community that he owes something to as an artist who has gotten so much from that community.
It's
an individuality kind of mentality, and it's a generational thing. There are hands to embrace folk to help bring them in to understand their larger part in society, and one just has to be open to listening to those folk who know.
And so, hold your thought, Emil. I want you to follow up on that, but I want to go back to the phone lines and make sure we get Paul in, who's calling from Bowie. Go right ahead, Paul. I think he wants to go back to Kevin Maxwell. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, I've got a comment per se, Ramonte. Good to hear from you, buddy. Tracy and Emil.
Thank you.
Thank you. We know that this is a political agenda right now. We can all probably shake our hand and agree with that. And what Emil stated something a little while ago about what's happened in Prince George's County in reference to some of the teachers. All of what's happened is not Kevin's fault, but it has fallen under Kevin's watch. So as any good CEO, you take ownership, you take accountability. Being that this is a political climate right now, everyone is posturing to get their name in front for what they do. And historically, Tracy has reported on this a number of times. Prince George's, and you said it accurately tonight, Tracy. I commend you for that. Prince George's County has had a plethora of problems. It goes back extensively. And Rashern's point, he said, I need consistency as a leader because that's what's lacking. And so because now you've got new structures, Vermonte, that have come into place, some of the old guard didn't like it.
Mm.
And so you've got people who have come against him. And so you'll say, hey, what, we got one strike against you. And that's just it. You know, you all talking and to cross mix a little bit with what you said about Kanye West. Hey, you know, we've got, you know, if I give you a soundbite, doesn't mean that's a story. So that's what's happened here in Prince George's County. A lot of people and some of the you know, I've talked to other people on the outside. They really don't really know what's going on in the school system. There's a lot of great things happening, but they don't get involved. And all they see and watch is what's happening on the sound bites that they catch from us here reporting tonight. They heard one thing and they take it as a totality, as an absolute statement. Does that make sense?
Yep. Thank you so much, Paul. I want to let the guests sort of follow up on that. Emil,
no, Paul is so right, because we've come down to a soundbite type of mentality where there's governance with soundbites. Again, you know, county executive candidate, also Brooks, John Edwards, and Muse have all had this joint manifesto that Mr. Maxwell needs to leave. But then each one of these people have a record. What have you done in terms of all these law enforcement issues within the school system? What programs have you created? So again, you know, that may not be as attractive, but there is some accountability, and that's where in lies real reporting. One thing I got to give Tracy credit, she's out there working hard every day. You know, the 25 years I was at the Washington Post, you know, just staying in the bureau, staying out there, digging deep. Nowadays, okay, yes, Kanye has a soundbite that we're responding to slavery, but some stories need just a old-fashioned accountability. When was the last time people show up at a school board meeting, and a PTA meeting to hear people on the ground talk about the school lunches and stuff? So again, this is a sign of a new day that's not really a great day.
Let me ask this. Do you think in retrospect, with some space, there will be a different evaluation of Kevin Maxwell and the job
I think
he's
so.
Done?
I think so. I think that because of the expansion of the programs that, you know, Prince George's County has the largest arts integration program in the state of Maryland, maybe the largest in the country. When people are killing arts programs in education, Kevin Maxwell was able to invest, and this was him and the county executive and a gentleman who he brought in from Anne Arundel County. So now arts are being taught in every single subject. There are kids who are getting scholarships that they weren't getting before because they have developed art skills in the last 5 years. So it is amazing to see what the school system has done on that account, because I remember when we first started covering Prince George's County, when I first started covering it in depth a few superintendents ago, that they were taking programs out of the county en masse. There were budgeting issues. There were management issues. We had athletic departments that were falling apart.
Now they got turf fields everywhere.
Now they've got turf fields. So it's like they stopped investing in the students and started putting more attention into security. And our schools, and I'm a Prince George's County High School graduate. I went through Prince George's County schools from elementary to mm-hmm. high school. And when I came back to the city, what I saw was a very different school system from the one that I graduated from. So I feel like there has been this renaissance outside of all of the arguing about who's leading. And what I do know is that a lot of the programs that are in the schools are great. The expansion of language immersion. We have done countless stories on these kids who have got amazing scholarships to great schools, and not one or two, but kids at every school. So all of that stuff means a lot to someone who came through the system. And I think that in years from now, people will start to realize that, wow, we really built up a really great system in the last few years. My hope is that a lot of those programs will continue and will expand, and that they will not, whoever comes in next, say, you know, we don't need to be putting money into art, or we don't need to be putting money into. I've been in the classrooms with these kids who are doing this work, and they love it, and they are really happy in their environment. It's a change, so.
And that's true, because as a teacher myself, and Morgan State and all around, you know, there are a lot of great programs. I have 4 children, all of them in the county school system. But the thing about it, this moment now, Mr. Maxwell still has the rest of a long year, you know, and so therefore, before we talk about transition, what is he going to do now? What is County Executive Baker going to do now in terms of shoring up this system, in terms of security, in terms of all type of management issues right now? I mean, give us something to cover right now. Just circle the wagons. So again, I think this is the type of bootstrap reporting that we all need to do as journalists. Tracy's doing it. Other people, she can't do it by herself. You know, again, there's a great opportunity right now, you know, to focus on this.
Let's go back a little bit. The issue in Philadelphia and the Starbucks. Today, the two gentlemen announced that they've settled with the city of Philadelphia, that they will only take $1 apiece, but they want the city to put $200,000 into an entrepreneurial program for Philadelphia high school students. What do we think about that?
Well, they're entrepreneurs, right? And that's what mm-hmm. they were doing in the Starbucks. They were there having a business meeting and having a conversation and waiting for a third party to come in and talk. But they were looked at as folks who were loitering mm-hmm. and needed to leave Starbucks. When the business model for Starbucks says we have great bathrooms and great coffee and tables for you to come in here and sit and chill all day long. We don't want you to leave. We want you to stay here. Except for these two guys in Philadelphia, which, you know, is preposterous. But I think that it sends a fantastic message. I think it's a refreshing change to see that these men are saying, let's do something positive. Let's reinvest in our communities. And this is exactly what we were just talking about with the Kanye deal. Like, they absolutely could have sued and gotten a lot of money after all of this press. But remember that the people in the Starbucks who were offended by their arrest were some of them white.
Mm-hmm.
and who were videotaping mm-hmm. and saying, what are you doing? Why are you arresting
And I think a white person
guys?
Did the videotape
right,
that went
exactly.
viral, right?
So yeah. it speaks to, I think it's a great message for our country at a time when we are so polarized to hear that this is what these young brothers are going to do. And I thought it was, and it made me very happy to hear that, you know, one of them was, it was exactly the opposite of what the manager thought when she threw them out. One attended college, was a member of Omega Psi Phi. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are young men who are doing all of the right things. And, you know, and then this happens.
Does it take away?
I want to go back to it. It's still a tale of two cities. And one, we can applaud Starbucks doing the right thing. But I thought about how it started because someone perceived these men as a threat, and the police responded to the threat. Today on the Metro, I saw a young man, a chubby African-American man, who had his Chris White chef's outfit and had his knives because he's going to his job. You know, he's proud of his job. Had even a leather case. But when he got out that Metro, a Metro cop chased him down as if because somebody reported that somebody came in the system with knives. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy is standing there looking like a chef, and he was very controlled. He showed his ID. And then the white cop says, oh, I'm sorry, man, but I had a report of somebody was on the train with a knife. And again, the person who has the perception has so much power, from perceiving a threat in Starbucks in Philly to perceiving a threat on the subway. That perception is rooted in some of this racism that is still a bad problem.
Now, Hamil, Tracy said it's a great thing. They only took a dollar each, and $200,000 of it will go, $200,000 will go into the city for an entrepreneurial program. This is from the city. This is what they've settled with the city. Will it detract from them if they end up suing Starbucks?
But this is bigger than Starbucks.
No, but what I'm asking is, to Tracy's point, it's nice that they took a different road. They only took a dollar. But this was from the city. Will it detract from their position if they then end up suing Starbucks?
I only want to answer yes, no, maybe so. But the issue is the issue. What about the person who makes these calls, who perceive the threat, who see these menacing black men? Who made the threat in St. Louis? Who made the threat in Baton Rouge where a man my size is laying on the ground and gets shot with a 9mm and had no weapon? How about the young man who was perceived to be a threat in the backyard of his grandmama's house, had no weapon, and he dies? This happens every day, even in Prince George's County. And it seems like we kind of always put the burden on the brother or the burden on the company. But what about the people who are making a phone call who still think people look like me are a bunch of racists?
I think it's good that the company is doing the unconscious bias training for all of the employees.
When they close down for that day. Yeah.
And to say that they're going to do it at all Starbucks, I think that there needs to be more bias training. And I think that every company and field can use some bias training so that folks can understand their biases and where they come from and how they operate. Speaking to what Hamil is saying, I think that would be that's one way to deal with it. If corporate America took more of a stance there, that's a great way to help how folks interact with one another, especially in business.
And I'm sure
situations.
They will, but when are we going to hold Jeff Sessions, who's the attorney general, instead of worrying about who's with the Russians, how about all those wonderful things for decades Republican and Democratic presidents put through for this Justice Department that has now just gone up in smoke? Nobody's talking about civil rights. Nobody's talking about the whole decrees about people getting killed and Black Lives Matter. We just throw that away?
Well, I think what he's worried about today is securing the borders, because he's putting more people and more resources in the net that came out today. But we can get to that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We've got two callers who want to comment about Kanye West. But before we go to those callers, and we've talked about him a little bit, we want you to at least hear some of what Kanye West had to say that's centered on this issue of slavery and slaves having a choice here in America.
I actually don't think you're thinking anything. I think what you're doing right now is actually the absence of thought. And the reason why I feel like that,
because Kanye, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living the life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Every day we have to walk into that truth while you choose to say things that, to be honest with you, dog, are nonsensical. You want to think freely? That's fine. I'll combat your free thought with my free thought because mine is grounded in a reality that I've been given and a reality that I'm going to change, but I'm not going to do it by pretending that the enemies are on the same team as me. And frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real.
Now, that is Van Johnson. He's a reporter and producer with TMZ. Kanye West made many of his comments on TMZ. Van Latham, I'm sorry, Van Latham, I'm thinking of the football player Van Johnson, Van Latham, who is a reporter and a producer with TMZ. So he was responding to what Kanye West had to say. And so with that, let's go to the phone lines now and see what our callers have to say about what Kanye West had to say and maybe even Van Latham in terms of his response to Kanye West. Let's go to Walter calling from Northeast D.C.
Well, let me hurry up. I thank you, everybody. Shout out to Vance Latham. I saw the interview. He told it like it is. And to me, to Mr. West and Mr. Carson, if slavery would still exist, they could never survive because they would be punished for, you know, marrying a white woman. And to Dr. Carson, he would never be a doctor. So we must always remember that slavery is when you're being controlled by somebody and you talk back or you get smart, you get the punishment. And to Candace Owens, I saw her. What was she doing holding Kanye's hand? He's married and he ain't, you know, he's not about with black women anymore. He's with Kim Kardashian.
All right. Thank you, Walter. Walter was hitting on a couple of issues there. But your thoughts, Hamil, just on Van Latham's response. It was blowing up on Twitter. Many people felt like he really laid it out there.
Yes, he's outraged. Again, yes, he's outraged. Yes, he has merit to be outraged. But I still would like to hear more of not just what Kanye West now he's apologizing. Yes, he's going to get more money, more, and have another kumbaya moment. But after all of this stuff, why don't we get mad with the descendants of slaves and what they're going through? Young black males, young black females. We get so outraged about Kanye or somebody, but is that where we've come to? I mean, yes, it's terrible. It's a shame. I mean, why is he cutting deals with Donald Trump? And Trump hasn't shown anything what he's doing to, you know, people of color. But I'm just saying is it just about entertainment as journalists now? Is that just, let's just all just call it out?
Well, seeing that you don't want to talk about that anymore, then we've got a few minutes left. I'm going to take another turn.
Tracy, help us.
And I'm going to take a turn and go this way. On Tuesday, you had a 16-year-old student at Kipp Preparatory Academy in D.C.
Honor student.
And we heard his father speak today. Actually, he was being interviewed, I think, by Pat Collins, Tracy, on NBC4 mm-hmm. Washington. And he was very eloquent. And it always amazes me that parents are able to talk about this so soon after they lose a child. But he was saying he was an honor student. He came home one time. He came home when we expected him to. But yet somehow he was in this mass of kids that were fighting, and he ends up being stabbed. Is this something where parents need to be afraid for their children just walking in this new gentrified D.C., or is this just something that can happen and we all need to sort of be conscious of it? Tell me what you think. Is it just a random thing? How should we look at this?
Well, police still need to investigate what happened and what led to this young man's stabbing. But of course, parents in any city we all need to be very conscious of what's going on with our kids, especially when they're in groups and they're traveling and moving in groups. Sometimes it's like a walking target. Mm-hmm. So the conversations have to be about keeping yourself safe and making sure that your kids are surrounding themselves with people who are making good decisions. If you're the smartest one in your clique, it's time for a new clique.
Mm. And be there with your children. My son plays Little League. I broke up a fight day before yesterday. You know, kids fighting just because they're angry. I said, why are you fighting? The guy's dead. So he lost his mother. She was killed on the streets.
He is Hamil Harris. He's a reporter with the Washington Afro. She is Tracy Wilkins. She is the Deputy Bureau Chief in Prince George's County for NBC for Washington. We thank you both for joining us. Thank you for your expertise. We appreciate it. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, May 2nd. We thank you all for your questions and your comments. I am Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.